we have heard enough from Alan. Mm-hmm. Now we want to hear from Chaim Obadiah. This is already a little bit late, that people that really are careful about doing mitzvot a better way, it's good to start building the sukkah right away after the day of Kippur, which was still at night. Wow. After eating, breaking the fast, they start to do the sukkah.
118.
Okay. The days after Kippur, we do not say bidui, tachanunim. Could anybody fast on these days?
I don't think so.
They don't make gezerah of ta'anit on the people, but individual people, they do fast sometimes. If he has a dream, if he has a need for ta'anit on your side, very good. Okay. The sukkah, how many walls should have? I mentioned once to you, if you remember, then Gaon said, Gaon Mibina said, the letters of sukkah, what are they? Three, samech, kaf, he. Better make it like samech. How many walls there is in the samech?
Four.
Better do samech, four walls. You can't?
Kaf.
It would be enough kaf. Then one side could be open. It's too good, that's called sukkah. If you have sukkah with three walls, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the mitzvah, you can sit down and eat with some one side open. And if you don't have enough material to make three walls, make it like hair. No, hair, it's two, one together.
Right.
And one like the leg of the hair.
Yeah, okay.
And there is an opening from the wall to the leg. But that opening you should do should look like a doorway. How do you make it to look like that way? You put a little strip from the leg of the hair to the wall. That makes it just like complete tree. You understand? That you have to make a doorway. Of course, this is the walls. How about the top? Has to be special laws about it. About the walls, you can build it from anything you want. Stones, wood, metal, anything. But the sukkah, the cover of the sukkah, has certain condition what should be made from. What is it? Has to be something that not attached to the ground. You come and say, I have a tree over here, wonderful, thank God. I lower the branches of the tree and I'll put it on the sukkah. Oh no, you can't. What do you have to do? First cut the branches and cover the sukkah. Come and say, okay, you cover the sukkah and then you cut the branches. It's no good. Because this you didn't do the sukkah. The sukkah was done by itself, because the sukkah was a sukkah. Why they call it sukkah? Named after the sukkah, that has special laws, that has to be detached from the ground. Has to be something that is not eligible to get tum'ah. You know what's not eligible to get tum'ah? If it is metal, it's no good. The metal gets tum'ah right away. Food gets tum'ah. Anything eligible to get, if something tameh touches it, becomes tameh, is no good. If you take food and you cover with it, all of a sudden you have food, you spread it all over, no good. Then another thing, one detached, want to be not Mekabel Tuma. For example, there is sometimes tools, even though made from wood, they will be Mekabelim Tuma, since it is a tool of something. You made a box, container, you put something, food in it, you put vegetables. They want to take this box and put it on the bitzakach. It's no good, because it's already made into a carry. Wood doesn't get tuma only when it is still plain. Once you made it a tool of something, that's eligible to get tuma. It's no good. You understand? Okay. Bye, bye. Of course, the walls should not be a sheet blowing by the air. You hang it and it's blowing. And the main thing, that should not move from its place. That means it has to be attached up and down. That shouldn't blow.
It has to be something solid or something solid.
The main thing, that shouldn't,
well, it shouldn't
blow.
Uh-huh.
I don't care, solid or not solid.
Okay. You have a balcony and you have a fence, right? Now, that's like, even though it's less than between the iron, there's less than
3 feet or what?
No. You take a hand, then it's okay.
I don't understand.
No, you have a balcony, right? And then on top of it, you have the gate around it, fence.
Yeah.
No, but the fence...
There is a space.
The space in between, it's not three tefachim.
Tachshosha kravudim.
So, in other words, you want to use that as part of this.
So that could be like a dolphin.
Yeah. That means you consider it like clothes.
Oh,
you understand? Because he's right. Uh-huh. Anything if you have here, cord, there is no 12 inch between one to another. Right. That's considered a wall.
Uh-huh. So then he could use that as a wall almost?
That's
fence?
Right.
That's a height.
Yeah, he puts a bamboo.
You put a
then 10 inches, another bamboo.
Right.
10 inches, another bamboo. That's considered
wall.
A wall.
Okay.
Because since there is no 12 inches,
so
this is like close. He's right.
And then you can cover it with the canvas after you have those things.
It has to be the height of the sukkah, at least height of the sukkah. At least 10 tefahim. Tefahim is 4 inches. Each tefah, 4, that means, has to be at least 14 inches high. Who is having only 40 inches? But sometimes a person doesn't have material. He has some place. He makes it small, he sits within it, and he eats. It's okay, as long as he has 40, some they say 42, some they say 48. But if he has that height of 40 inches would be good enough.
I saw that once.
Huh?
I saw that one.
You did?
Yes. Allah b'shalom, Hacham Moshe Gindi used to live on, right off of Bay Parkway.
Sure.
On top of where that Gannon Tires is.
Uh-huh.
And he had, under his fire escape, he had put one like that, that only the top of him would fit into it.
Yeah. And he was sitting there?
Yeah.
I went, when can you think that now in America you'll find some color?
But this was, when I first came to New York, I was a little boy when I saw it. And then they moved to 73rd Street and he had a regular sukkah. But
yeah.
Well.
Now, if the sukkah is very, very high, it's not kosher. How much the height of Sukkah? 40 feet. If it would be 40 feet, it's no good. Less than 40 feet is good. Did you ever see a Sukkah 40 feet high?
I didn't see.
I saw something close to it. There is an orphanage home in Yerushalayim called Beit Yitomim Diskin. Diskin was a very great rabbi. Yeshua Lev Diskin. He used to be called by the Ashkenazim Brisker Rabbi. The rabbi from Brisk. And he was a very great man. And he established an orphanage home in Yerushalayim for all the orphans that they don't have, and he taught them Torah over there. Became great Talmidei Chachamim. He used to have a sukkah, very, very high, very large, because many people came there in Sukkot to see him, just to see the rabbi. And all the people of the institution also, they were there. Hundreds and hundreds of people eating dinner there with him. This sukkah was, I remember as a child, I used to see that sukkah, unbelievable. It's Rabbi Yehoshua Lev Diskin, that's called the orphanage home of the Diskin Rabbi. Then, sometimes it could happen that they tell them not to make it 40 feet high. That's well decorated, unbelievable. And he should try to make sukkah that will be firm to be able to stay for the whole week. Not something shaky. All of a sudden, it might fall like Alan. And so your sukkah is shaky. No. Because you make sure that you don't make one. Okay. Some people, they make signs on the sukkah. Which one on the right, which one on the left, which one in the middle. To make every year the same, the sukkah to be the same way. It has to be that way.
I don't think so.
Then why do you make it?
Maybe
it's
a puzzle.
Very smart. You see, in Beit HaMikdash, Mishkan, they used to have sign numbers also. And they wanted every time the Mishkan was taken apart, when they put it on again, it has to be exactly the same, even though that the boards were exactly the same size. No difference, exactly identical. Tell them, no, you have to make it. Why? Because when the people that came and contributed their contributions for the Mishkan. Now a person says, for my contributions, I want you to make the ark. The other one says, no, my contribution for the ark is to make that the doorway over there. Then what is it? That's it's written in the Torah. They said, V'choshevei mahashavot. God gave them wise people to build the Mishkan, Bezalel, only having the people that were under their command. They were, give them enough wisdom, lahshov mahashavot, to think about the thoughts of others. They looked, when a person gave, how did he give it? In the whole, in his mind, in his heart, gave it with all his heart or not. The only one knew that, Bezalel and Oliab. And when they took the contributions, you know, this one is the top one. This one, second to him. This one, third to him. And they took from the one that was the contribution, the best, to make the board that would be for the place where the Luhot would be placed. Then the walls, next one was number one, number two, number three. That they needed to have numbers. To put it exactly, the way Bezalel and Oliab wanted it. Because they knew to read the mind of the people when they gave the contributions. Just like Alan.
Should we do that, Rabbi? Should we do that now?
No. I said, Sukkah doesn't require that. The Sukkah, wherever you put it, as part of the Sukkah, just the same. And the Mishkan was a different. Because we're different people giving contributions. And everyone, according to what his contribution, that's how they put it. This is what is a story of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was the student of the Gaon Mivilna. Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna was a very great Gaon. His student, well, the best student that he had, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. After the Gaon Mivilna passed away, he opened a very, very large yeshiva, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. Volozhin is the name of a city. Then this Rabbi Chaim, he opened a very large yeshiva with dormitory. Students were coming to him from all over Europe, all over. They went to his city to become, everyone was trying, making his best to take a test that would be able to go into that yeshiva. Because anyone who went to study in that yeshiva became a very great scholar. Under the direction of who? Of the Vilna Gaon, of Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna. And these are Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. Now, he had a very big dormitory, and they stayed there all year. Only the holidays, they went to their parents' home. And he used to have people give very big contributions to his institutions from all over Europe. At the beginning, the rabbi used to go to himself to collect certain times that there is no yeshiva. But then the rabbi couldn't go anymore. He called the collector, used to give him a list. Here is the list. Here are the names. Of course, the top name over there has the top donation that he gives every year. Let me say $10,000 those days, $10,000. We like 10 million today. And he had the top one was $10,000. Second was $9,000, and so on. Very big list. And the collector used to go to collect. Every year go all around and he brings the money. One year, he went to the top donor. Because he saw that what there is. And said, I'm sorry, I can't give you this year. And the man that every year gives the top amount, and all of a sudden said, I can't. Must be something happened to him. He left, the collector couldn't say anything. He went back. He came to the rabbi, and he gave him the list, and gave him what he collected. Told him, what happened to that man, top of the list? So the rabbi went to him, he said, he's sorry, that this year he cannot give me any. The rabbi said, okay. He waited a few days, the rabbi thought, the poor guy, maybe something happened to him. Maybe there is a decree on him, he lost his money or something. He started thinking, maybe I should try to help him now. The rabbi started thinking this way and decided to go to this man. This donor was a farmer. He had a very, very big farm. And he has a house over there on that farm, like a palace. The rabbi came, he hired a chariot. I'm talking something over 200 years ago. And he took the man to drive him, as we say today, go to that city of this farmer. From far away, the farmer sees a chariot coming. He went to look who is coming. He saw the rabbi himself came. Rabbi, welcome to my house. He came in. The rabbi sees, goes into the palace. What wealth, what waitresses, unbelievable. He sees everything with the very, very big wealth. The way the servants are serving over there, the food that they give him, they couldn't believe it. The rabbi waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He couldn't believe what goes on over there. He sat down, 1 day, two, three, after 3 days, told him, I want to talk to you. Went to a room, He said, tell me, how is the condition this year in business? What is in your farm? How is the problem? Best. I never had a good year as this year. The rabbi couldn't believe it. He said, maybe he doesn't want to tell me. He waited another day. Then he went to him again. Listen, tell me, what's the condition? If there is any difficult time, just tell me, we'll try to do something for him. He said, rabbi, I told you this year was the best year I ever had. I said, listen, let me ask you directly. Then what happened? If you had the best year, why did you give your donation this year like every other year? He said, rabbi, what I tell you? Every year, the collector used to come here, very tired. His shoes are almost worn out. His clothes dusty. He's tired. I used to run right away to serve him, to let me take a shower. But this year, you know what happened? He came with a beautiful smoking, you know, a special garment. He came with the chariot, which is very interesting, with a can in his hand, like a millionaire, a lord. I said, rabbi, I gave my money for the horses and for this man of the chariot. I gave it that the rabbis that are in your yeshiva, they would be able to eat, you buy books over there. That's what I'm giving my money for, not for these horses. The rabbi smiled. And he told him, this is of the Mishkan. He said, you have to know the money, the way it comes, the way it goes. The people that they donate the money, where do they get the money? What is in their mind when they give the money? Only God knows. And God makes sure it's the best contribution that comes from somebody that gives it wholeheartedly and comes in a very good way to him. He doesn't, God forbid, he takes it in some wrong, tricky way from the people. That's the best donation. God takes it for the food of the rabbis, for the books. But today there are many people that the money is not so kosher on their hand. It used to be in the past years that the money was kosher. Now that it's not, some goes for the rabbis, and some goes for the horses. I said, then you don't have to worry. If your money kosher and you give it wholeheartedly, God will put you in the right place. He said, when he heard that from the rabbis, I double it this year. He gave him double. This is what we are saying. What does it mean, what they used to do, numbers, in the boards of the Mishkan? But the rabbi comes and said, people think that in the sukkah also we have to do numbers. Of course people do make, why? The way he said, it's easier. Today when you put a board and you put them the same, easier to put them back together. But you switch it, it becomes harder. But it's not, does not become allowed to do it. That's the difference between the Mishkan and the sukkah. Then the army in Israel, they used to have sukkah, the soldiers, on a truck. They make sukkah on the truck, and they sit down, they eat over there. The religious boys that were in the army, that's what they did. And it's kosher. As long as it's firm over there, you put the wood, put the sukkah, sit down and eat. In many, many places, they wanted to make it easier on themselves. They made the sukkah in the house, in the room. How they have a skylight, and they sit under the skylight. But there's a condition. If you have, all of a sudden, in the middle of the room, a skylight, and you put sukkah, you open that window, you open, to be in the opening, under the sky. Should not be also ceiling from the skylight to a very large one. How large? What do you call large? Must be less than 8 feet for amot. If there is less than 8 feet, it's good. They consider the wall like a crooked wall. Mm. All this is part of the wall. Part of the wall, you don't sit under the wall. In Sukkah, you have to sit under
Sukkah.
As long as we have less than Oramot, less than 8 feet from here, less than 8 feet from there, less than 8 feet from here, 8 feet from there, it's good. Sit under it, it's good enough. So I don't have walls. Yes, these walls are good. That's walls. And this, what you see, a wall goes this way. If a person makes walls slant, it's good or not? And then make the Sukkah.
They can make it in the back synagogue, Rabbi Harari's place. They have a glass ceiling.
But there is a glass open?
No, it doesn't open.
It doesn't open.
The glass that doesn't open, that's wall already. It's no good.
But the people that are sitting in the Sukkah, they don't have to be under the Sukkah?
I said they should sit under the Sukkah. But come and say, I don't have walls, Sukkah without walls is no good. No, there is walls. Isn't that the wall? Even that you are here. And that's what you say, but here there is wall. Doesn't matter, this wall, crooked wall. What's the difference? That's a call it in Hebrew, Dofen Akuma. There is in Masechet Sukkah, whoever learned Masechet Sukkah, that this is, I saw it in homes in Israel. Homes, the people open the ceiling.
Sammy Sutton, though.
But he has a small kitchen, he does it there, I know. At the beginning when he did it, it took me to see it, to ask me if it is kosher or not. It's kosher, it's a very small place. But I'm talking, you can have room. A large room. As long as it is less than 8 feet. You know what is less than 8 feet? Could be a very large room. I'm talking here now, 8. And 8, that's 16. And the price of the Sukkah could be also about 5-6. It's good. You have a tremendous room. Just sit under the Sukkah and eat.
How do they hang the Sukkah?
Huh?
How do they hang the Sukkah from
that? They have strips of wood and the Sukkah on it.
They just put it like a pole and they put the Sukkah on top.
No, they don't need. You have there, don't they have that ceiling? From this ceiling to that ceiling.
I mean, they have like a ledge.
Yeah,
in between. Yeah.
Finish.
A lot of people do it in the bedroom. No, they want to sleep. They want to be mahmir, so they sleep. No, yeah. A lot of people put it in their bedroom there.
What's the funny? We'll bring his bed over here. If you make your food over there or your sleep over here, it's empty.
Too easy. There's no
mysterious nefesh. Suppose a person built a sukkah. All of a sudden came heavy storm and that. Dropped it. He comes, he's in the middle of the day. Yom Tov. What did he do? He wants to eat. And he is a religious man that the water is good, he wants to sleep also, because the Lord said if the water is good, that you sleep in the Sukkah. And outside, many people, what do? They sleep in the Sukkah, because the water there, the climate is good. But here in this country, most of the time, it's the most dangerous thing to do, to sleep in the Sukkah at night. Because, of course, this is not, there was a rabbi here who came, Rabbi Yitzhak Levi. He used to be a rabbi in Iran. He was Ashkenazi, but he was a rabbi in Iran. He came here, was a guest by a man by the name Surya. He insisted he wanted to sleep in the Sukkah. And he slept in the Sukkah. It was terrible, freezing cold weather. And he had a fur coat on him, but he got sick for 2 months after that. The man, sometimes when he shmartem me'od, v'nam shotechem. To be careful. And this is what they say. If a person really needs a Sukkah pearl, if he has a koi, he wants to tell him put it, he has a lot of time. It's for the mitzvah of the Sukkah that he will be able to eat. That means there is nothing wrong with telling him.
Why?
That's a bunt, huh?
Well, what's the, don't you need?
Because of the mitzvah of the Sukkah. Huh?
But didn't you need still? I mean, was it Rabbanan? Don't you need Shkut, Shkut, Mitzorech, Mitzvah? In other words, what's the second
Yeah, well, the halacha is permitted. Okay, then, as was said before, the sekach must be from something that grows out of the ground, but to be detached and not eligible to get tumah. These three conditions there is. That means if you take a tree still attached, you can make sekach just by bending the branches on the sukkah. Cut it first and then put it. And if you put it and then you cut it, it's not good. Because at the time that you make it, it has to be kosher sukkah. Now when you make it, it's not kosher. When it becomes kosher? Later, when you cut it and cut it, the cover is there already. It's not good. That's what they call in the Gemara, ta'aseh ve'lo min he'asui. That means you have to do it. Secondly, as I said, has to be something that grows. That means from a tree. Suppose you take the wood that came from a tree, and you cut it, you made chopping board for meat. Can you make a sekar from it? No good. Because became already a tool, something that just carry is called. Kelim mekabelim tumah. That's what they call the Gemara, Peshute Kele'etz. If it's something of wood that had not become keli yet, just simple wood, you put it, it's good. But once it becomes already a tool of something, you cannot use it. Suppose here there is a branch that you cut it, everything you want to cover, but in this branch there is fruit. The fruit are eligible to get tumah. Then if the fruit are the majority and you cover with it, it's not good. But if the fruit is not majority and there is enough the sekach, the leaves that will be covering the sekach, it's good. And there is sometimes the fruit is more than the leaves. What does he do? He wants to minimize the fruit, he cuts them. Okay, if you cut the fruit before the holiday, it's good. Come on the holiday, you want to cut it, you can. That's metaken. Metaken, you can. He said, I want to eat this fruit. You cut it, it's something detached, it's not in the mahabbar. You can cut. Now, if you have in mind, because you do it in order to fix the sukkah, it's bad. That is, you are fixing something to be good for the sukkah. This is all I'm talking now about the sukkah itself. I mean, well, let's go a little bit, because we took much time about sukkah, and we'll see there is sukkot has different mitzvot. Besides the sukkah, there's more. You know that there's a very important part in our tradition, what they call shiv'ah or shpizin. We believe if a man deserves it, he has guests coming to him. Most important guests. Who are the guests? The fathers of the Jewish people. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, and David. Now, you see the seven important guests coming to us. I remember as a child, in my father's home, he had a special chair sitting there, that's for their guest of the day. What did they? They say Abraham comes the first day. With him, they come the others to escorting him. Yitzhak comes the second day. With him, they come the six others, Abraham, Yaakov, Israel, and so on. And when a person enters the sukkah, he stands at the doorway and he says, Ulu Oshpizin Elain Kadishin. Please, guests, important guests, please welcome to my sukkah. And then he enters the sukkah. There's a special decorations in sukkah that they put, that the wording is there. And they tell you what to say on the first day, what to say on the second day. They used to decorate the sukkah with these things to know that the minute he comes, his book not is in the hands, he stands at the door, he looks and he rings. The kiddush is put over there on the walls. everything, and all these statements that he said to welcome the people in the Berachot, in Birkat HaMazon, also Rahman, a special Rahman, a special prayer over there, that God will give us a blessing from these Oshpizin Allahim Kadishin, these important guests who are here. And they don't take it lightly. It's very important, the Siddur. The person says, what is this? Doesn't mean anything. No. A person has to understand that there is meaning to it, and he should try to do it. Because they say it's a very good for every Jew to do it, because he gets a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by that. Comes Arab Sukkot, you know, there is Gemara Pesachim. There is a special perek, it's called Erbe Pesachim. When comes Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, a person is not allowed to eat certain times because he has to eat the meal of the night of the Seder with good appetite. But not only Erev Pesach, every Erev Shabbat, every Erev any holiday, not only Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, a person should not eat in the late hours of the day, because they want him, when he enters Yom Tov, to eat with good appetite. When is that that a person should not? He said, the last 2.5 hours. In Erev Pesach, 3 hours. But in the rest of the holidays, 2.5 hours, that's called from the time of Mincha Ketana, on he should not eat a full meal. What's called full meal? To eat bread 2 ounces. If you eat bread 2 ounces, it's already wrong. If he eats less, it's not issue. If he eats fruit, it's not issue. To eat bread of 2 ounces, that's considered a full meal, and he's not allowed to. The same thing with Arab Sukkot. Why? Because they want him to eat the bread that he's supposed to eat in the night with good appetite. And why? Because in Pesach, has to be the full meal be eaten at night. Well, it's written, "Ba'asar yom lachodesh ba'erev tochelu matzot." Then in Sukkot, when you celebrate, I'm sure it's not written tochelu, but there is gezerah shava. Because Pesach, when comes the holiday of Chag HaMatzot, b'hamisha'asar yom. Sukkot, when comes the holiday, b'hamisha'asar yom. Just like hamisha'asar yom of Pesach, you need to eat the Torah said tochelu matzot ba'erev, and Sukkot also, b'hamisha'asar, you have to eat a meal of bread. And since there is mitzvah from the Torah to eat that meal of bread, you should not eat the bread the last 2.5 hours of the day. Person comes from work, he is tired. I don't know. Irving would tell me, Rabbi, I'm hungry. I came from work, I couldn't eat lunch, and I'll wait till the night. I want to eat. No, if you didn't eat lunch, you were too busy with your work, and you know what you want to eat? No, don't eat. Wait till the night to eat. You will eat better at night. Mom, what do you say, Irving?
I don't know, I'm open to eat all the time.
You don't do it anyhow. You don't eat the whole day, any day. Now, therefore, the kiddush of the night, on the night of Sukkot, also must wait till it is dark. Every Shabbat, every holiday, we say, no, better to make kiddush earlier. Why? Lehosif mechol ala kodesh. Gemara said, Rav never prayed arbit early. He prayed always arbit after tzedek chayim. But Arab Shabbat and Arab Yom Tov, he prayed early because he wants to make more part of the day of how to make it already kodesh Shabbat. And the Gemara said, Rav mitzaleh shel Shabbat be'Arab Shabbat. You should pray arbit of Shabbat when it is still Arab Shabbat. This is Rav, you know, the greatest Rav. But in Sukkot, not to do that. First night of Sukkot has to be, because the Torah said in Pesach, what it said, Ba'erev, has to be at night. Since that has to be at night, same thing, the 15th of the day of the Shri has to be the meal at night. Yes, Rabbi. I thought you wanted to say something. Okay.
If a person... You have to have in your mind where you're having the bread of Sukkot in the Torah.
That's right. Very good. You make. If you don't, machloket if mitzvot tzrichot kavana or tzrichot kavana. But even if you didn't, if you ate, naturally you are doing the mitzvah. But better, there are some better religious people, they say a special prayer before that. They say, Ribbono shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon, Lefanecha Hashem, Hine Anachnu Ba'im Mukhanim, Lekayem Mitzvat Aseh Medeoraita, Lechol Kazayit Pat Basukah. From the main law, one kazait is enough, 1 ounce, on the holiday. But they say better to eat 2 kazait, 2 ounces of bread. What is 2 ounces of bread? There's a lot of for young people. Say for men like me, it's an old man, 1 ounce is too much already. But for you, what is 2 ounces? I don't eat bread the whole week, but when it comes Shabbat, it's hard for me to eat more than kazait. Because I eat, but it's good. Shabbat is good. But there is another halacha. A person can eat out of Sukkah or not. The Gemara said, the Hasidim ve'anshei ma'aseh, Rabban Gamliel, they used to bring him water. He said, take it to the Sukkah. He goes to the Sukkah to drink his water. But this is not the halacha. Rabban Gamliel was Hasid Gadol. He didn't have anything out of the Sukkah. And they were Tamid HaChamim in Yerushalayim. He said, Rabbi Gamliel did it, we want to do it. They never drank or they had anything out of the Sukkah. But this is not halacha. I said, Hasidim. But if a person tells you, I don't want to be Hasid, then go ahead. How much can I eat? How much can I drink? Tell him, you can drink anything you want. All the drink out of the Sukkah. You can eat food. You can eat even cake. But not too much to be considered a full meal. You know what's considered a full meal? Suppose you eat Danish cake. You are eating Danish cake. You say mezonot, and you say ala mehya. But sometimes you say hamotzi and bekat amazon on Danish cake. Rabbi, Danish cake? Danish cake is not bread. It's cake. Yeah. Sometimes if you eat, some rabbis say 6 ounces. Some rabbis said 8 ounces. That means, some say if you eat 6 ounces of cake, you have to say netilah, amotzi, and bekat amazon. Some they say 8, but all say between 6 to 8 is a doubt. What do you do? To make sure, or you eat less than 6, or you eat more than 8, to know that you are doing what the halakha is. And then that's netilah, amotzi, bekat amazon. And definitely, you can eat out of the Sukkah. But really, they tell you, bread, you can't eat 2 ounces. Less than 2 ounces, you can eat. The halakha mutar. But it's better not to eat out of the Sukkah when you eat bread. As I said, but if a person sometimes he goes to the city, he has no Sukkah. He tells you, Rabbi, what do I do? I tell him, I advise him, don't eat bread. You want to eat your meal, eat your meal without bread. Because if you eat bread out of the Sukkah, that's Issur already. You are making Avera. But as long as you didn't eat bread, you didn't make Avera. You didn't make the mitzvah, but you didn't make Avera. But the first night of Sukkot, first here in Hotzar is 2 nights, you have to eat, you must eat bread. You can't come and say, I won't eat bread. Therefore, I'm permitted. But you must eat bread. Since you must eat bread, you have to eat it and the Sukkah. But comes a person says, Rabbi, it's raining outside. Do I have to go to sit in Sukkah and eat the bread? Of course not. Some Hasidim of Ashkenazim, they do that. What do they tell you? You want to eat the mitzvah of eating the bread in the night of Sukkot, the first night, In Sukkah, mitzvah the Torah. They sit down, they take raincoats, sit down and they eat. What to do here? That sometimes our rabbis of Sfaradim said Hasid Shote. They call him the crazy Hasid. Why? Because called a patum and a davar ve'osir when he cry idiot. If a person is not obligated and does it, call him an idiot. No, they don't call him Hasid. This is what the our rabbi said. But what's not coming now? The person will come. He wants to come and sit down in the rain and say beracha, the sheva sukkah, this is the beracha sheva sukkah. If you are patur, the beracha is beracha levatara. You understand? This is the problem. If you will say beracha, the beracha levatara. But they come, they tell you, Rabbi, the night of Sukkot comes, I want to do the mitzvah. Shouldn't I wait? Some they say, you should wait. Ashkenazim said you should wait till midnight.
Wow.
Sephardim said no. If your time of the meal came, you want to eat, you don't have to wait. You can eat in the house, make a douche in the house, and no beracha lishev basukkah.
And you can have bread. Have the bread.
Huh?
Have bread, whatever you want.
That's right. You can eat patur. When a person, you tell you patur, you are free and from this duty of sukkah. You can eat bread in the house.
How much raining is too much rain?
Huh?
How rainy has to
be? Very good. How much is the rain? He asked. If there is enough rain that comes on the food and spoils it for you, that's not
good.
But if there is few drizzling and you can eat, it's okay. And it depends how, that's a good question. This is in the halakha.